Lord, we thank you for your gifts that you bring to us. Thank you for George and his love for this nation and his love for this church. And I thank you that as he shares with us this morning what you put on his heart, you will encourage us, Lord God, in what you are doing. You are building your church, God, and we want to open our hearts wide and pray, speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Great. Thank you, Kim. It's so wonderful to be with you. So if we can open our Bibles to Psalm 84. I felt that it was really fitting, seeing that we're going to be ordaining an elder, that in God's mind, these are big things. Because of all the names he could have given his church, you know, he didn't call it an organization. He didn't call it a club or any of these things. He actually called it a household which is a pillar and a buttress of truth. And I don't know about your household, but when you come to my house, I don't like it when you jump on the couches. There's a way that we run our household. And in the same way, there's a way that God runs his household. And that's why he gives us leaders and elders to help us to run it in the way that he wants us to run it. So today, from Psalm 84, just the first four verses, I'm hoping to just give you a love again for the household of God and to celebrate the joy of us being together, because that's what we're going to be for all of eternity. That's why we say it's better if we, why don't we start enjoying each other now, because we're going to be together a very long time. Good. So let's have a look. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. And then if you see the word Selah there, that means stop, pause, take a moment just to consider what has just been said. So Father, this morning we ask you to speak to us. We ask you even this morning to give us a newfound love for the gathering of the saints, Lord. A newfound love for your household and for the people of God. May you be glorified this morning, we pray, through the preaching of your word, through the gathering of your people, through the ordination of an elder to your household, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. Now, pilgrimages was actually one of the great features of Jewish life. And what used to happen is people from all over Israel started to walk together and started to celebrate them going together as the people of God in Jerusalem. Families were together. They had bands. They had people singing together with great excitement. And as they came from all over Israel and they passed through villages, more and more people started to join them, started to celebrate. Can you just imagine what that must have been like? All over we hear music, we hear dancing. We hear this joyful procession of people who's on their way to go and celebrate and worship, you know, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Songs were sung, and as they were singing, they were sharing memories. Remember last year when we were together, what we did. Remember what God did. And as they shared these memories and on this road, you know, so they together broke out in this beautiful procession with other believers walking together to be together with the living God. So what happened to this picture? If we look at the church today, we see attendance is declining in many countries. We see people not really prioritizing anymore the local church, the household of God. Where is the joy? Where is the celebration? Where's the expectation when it comes to meeting with God and His people? Could I propose, I don't know what it's like here, but in South Africa, I would say one of the main reasons for many not really coming to church is because they're not coming anymore to bring something. They're not coming to give something anymore. They're more coming like consumers, just sitting and sort of rating, that was okay. The coffee was a bit cold. The parking was a bit far. Hey, there were not enough seats. I had to sit next to two people. I like it when there's a few spaces, you know, next to me. And what happens is we get to a place where we start to focus on the small things instead of celebrating the big thing of the people of God coming together joyfully, expectant, gathering to be with the living God and the people of God. Can you imagine what that will be like? Sunday morning, we start to hear music. People are singing and dancing and celebrating. And you know what happens is people come out of their homes. They're trying to see what is going on here. And they ask, what are you doing? No, we're going to the house of God. We're coming to celebrate our togetherness as the people of God. So if I had to ask you today, describe the church to me. Describe the gathering of the saints. What would you say? How would you describe it? Is it a place you have to go to? Like you have to go to the dentist? When you can't handle the pain anymore? You've tried everything. You have to eventually go to the dentist. I mean, who puts on a worship music when they go to the dentist? Or as excited as you are to get to the morning, to get into traffic. I can't wait to get into traffic. Hey. No, these are things we dread as we come around that corner. Oh, Lord, please not. No. Oh, you know, and there's the queue. You know, and then you sit there. It might as well be a parking lot because nothing is happening. Is that how we see church? Or is it the place that you long for? Is it the place you get to go to? A place that you are excited because you're going to see the people of God. We get to now enjoy one another as we will for all of eternity. That it actually breaks your heart when you eventually have to leave here today and get in your car. Because now it's going to be a day or so, a few days before I see the people again. A place where we share beautiful memories. A place of great joy. Or is it a place of just duty? Let me just get it over with. Hey, let's just get our duty over with for the week. You see, for the psalmist, it was so difficult to try and explain the local church. It was so difficult to explain the people of God gathering together because his words seemed to fail him. It is so beautiful to him. It is so attractive to him. Young people, old people, everyone together, enjoying God, enjoying one another. Which is why it is so sad to see today that many do not prioritize this. Many do not understand the joy of walking together because we have so much to celebrate. Where would we have been? I know in my own life, if it wasn't for the local church, where would I have been? This was not my choice. To come and preach the word of God, to be in the you know, with the people of God. But as I started to come, God started to show me the value, the beauty, the wonder. I see my family blossoming. I see my marriage blossoming. I see God doing amazing things because of the local church, because of people together gathering. You see, for the psalmist, everything about the tabernacle of God was beautiful, was worthy of praise. The outer court, the inner court. He loved every portion, every detail, every inch, every corner. He loved it when the people got together. Yet even when he was not able to go, he remembers the gatherings. Oh, how I wish I can be there right now, be with them again. And soon I will be there. Why? Because it is when we get together, anything can happen. What are you expecting God to do today? When the people gather, anything can happen. Anything. Anything. Even right now, the Spirit of God is busy doing things in hearts and lives. Right now, anything can happen. So I ask again, if I say the local church, if you had to describe it to a family member or a colleague, how would you explain it? It's the thing. My children, you know, it's like by Saturday already, they're so excited because we're going. We're going to be there. May we have that view when it comes to meeting with God and His people. Verse 2, my soul yearns, it even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. So let me ask you, friend, does your soul still yearn, long for, pain, like fainting because of your desire? Do we still have like a childlike excitement to meet with the people of God, to have a gathering together in honor of the living God? And then even more than that, can you see, you know, that is something that we cannot keep quiet about? Like when we leave here, it's like, I need to tell someone how great it was what God has done. And maybe you say, well, do we really need to make such a fuss about this? Is this really such a big thing? I mean, you say we're going to be together anyway then. Should we not get on with our business now? No, actually, this is where we start to work on and enjoy these things. You know, having spent time with, let's say, Tutsu and Mira, the beautiful thing is that this will continue for all of eternity. Hey? Kim and Sue, getting to know them now, and it continues for all of eternity. And this is something beautiful. It is like a taste of heaven right now on earth. Friendships, relationships, the people of God. Verse 3, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. So his desire for God and his people was so great that he started to envy the birds that's close to the altar. Hey? When is the last time that you said, I am envious of the birds here? Because we have to go, but they remain. After we've left, you know, the psalmist said, you know, there's some crumbs left from the visitor's table. He says, those birds are so fortunate because, you know, they even get to eat the crumbs when we left behind. If I could be like the birds, the psalmist says, if I can just have a little bit more, even some of the crumbs that stays behind when the people of God were gathering. He not only envied the sparrow, but also the swallows. The swallows that builds their nest, you know, close to the house of God, who found a place for their young, close to the altar, close to the presence of God. And likewise, should our rejoicing not only be in the fact that we get to go, but the blessing that we are taking our children with us. You know, it's so wonderful for me, you know, looking at the Midgley boys, eh? Andy, Justin, Jeremy, Reese and Evan, and now Joel, to see how together on this journey they are growing up and seeing the wonderful things of God. How can we not include our children in these things? How beautiful it is to see children that you know, when me and my wife used to oversee kids' ministry in another church, to see those kids now actually adults, loving God, worshiping God, serving God. You see, the best thing we can do for our children is to take them on the journey with us. The best thing for our children is to put God first. Not them, God. And they will grow up to do the same. How many parents of the prodigal son or daughter today have great pain over their children who have decided to rather follow the world than follow God? Oh, what they would have given just to tell one more Bible story, even after a long, hard day's work. What they would have given to just talk once more about God at the dinner table. What they would have done to have taken them with them to church one more time to just worship the living God with the people of God instead of dropping them off somewhere at a mall with their friends. You see, friends, children do what we do. Children love what we love. Children prioritize what we prioritize. And that's why God gives us this wonderful promise that if we train them up and putting our needs and our schedules first, they are likely to do the same. But if we bring them up putting God first and the people of God first, we will see them following in the very same things. Don't be surprised if they grow up to do the same. So verse 4, so blessed are those. So not only are we blessed, not only are we excited, not only our children, but blessed are those who dwell in your house because they are ever praising you. So here again, the psalmist reminds us of what a true blessed life looks like. If I had to ask you this morning, what does the picture look like of you living a blessed life? The psalmist says it's not the person with the nicest car, in that time with the nicest donkey or camel, eh? It's not the person with the biggest house. It's not the person with the highest paying job or the most beautiful appearance or the biggest bank account. No, no, no. The one the psalmist says is the most blessed person, the most favored amongst the children of mankind, is the one who dwells in the presence of God now and forevermore and is regularly engaged in worshiping with God and other believers. Isn't this why God told Pharaoh, "Let my people go"? Because he wants them to worship him. See, friends, how much of what we do is worship to God? You know, this, we always say, when we get together on the Sunday, this is the halftime. You know, I don't know if you've watched a sports game, a sports match, soccer or something. You know, they stop. There's halftime. And in halftime, they quickly talk, get together, talk some strategy, and then they go back again and go play. Hey? No one comes and buys a ticket to a sports game, to soccer, to go and see halftime. Oh, I wish I can see how they eat those oranges. I wish I can see how they drink their energy drinks. I wish I can see how the coach screams at them because they didn't do what he's supposed to do. No, we go to watch the match. And see, friend, that is why the gathering is so important to us. Because it's like getting together for halftime to spray some spray where there's been some difficulty, pain in the week, to encourage, to lift up. so we can get back out again and do the things God has called us to do. You see, how much of what we are doing, this is where we train to worship. This is how we train to love. This is how we train to be generous, so we can go and live these things out wherever we go during the week. You see, the most amazing thing about this is that it doesn't matter what job you have, whether you are a mom at home, whether you selling some things on the side of the road, or maybe you are the president of this country. We all have the same opportunity to worship God with our lives. And even this morning, as we're singing songs every day, God says, I have delivered you. I have brought you into my kingdom so you may worship me through everything that you do. So blessed are those who dwell in his house. To come and go is refreshing. But God is looking for dwellers, those who stay, those who remain. You see, Jesus didn't give his life. The Father didn't send his Son so we can, you know, have a set of rules of what to do and not to do. No, actually, he gave his life so we can enjoy him, so we can be in relationship with him, so we can dwell with him, so we can enjoy the hospitalities of heaven, so we can be pulled aside from a noisy world and enjoy time with our Father and his people. So the question you have to ask yourself, am I a dweller? A dweller in the presence of God, a dweller in the household of God, one who abides. You know those guests that come to your house and they don't want to go? I don't know if it happens here. You know, a good thing you can do is you can, if you want them to go, you can say, what can I pray for you before you go? You know, they're hanging around and they're talking and all you want is, you know, seriously, I've got to work tomorrow. Can you just, you know? My wife is much better at this than me. You know, and then as you leave, you know, then you start the next conversation at the door. And then you go further and you start the next conversation in the parking lot. And my wife is always so angry. Why? You know, she loves people. Let me just say that. It's like, why do you start another conversation? Just keep quiet. It's over now. Hey. Unlike that, God loves it when we dwell with him. God loves it when we hang around with him. We are not in there to rush and go again. In the same way, the psalmist says, why not dwell in the household of God? Why run away to your next thing? Why not enjoy the people of God? You know, in our church, we've got wooden doors in the back. Sometimes we have to open those doors quickly because someone is going to run a hole through that door trying to get to their car. I don't know what for. Can I encourage you, friend? Why not dwell? Why not enjoy? Why not build relationship? Because you will find in relationships here a far greater, significant, amazing life. Hey, with people who is on the same journey as you are. So blessed are those whose strength is in you, who've set their hearts on pilgrimage. And that is one of the most amazing things of being a follower of Jesus, that we don't get to do this alone. We were never meant to live this life alone. Hey? We are better together. That we actually, this is the dream. That this is the joy, that we get to do life with our friends. Hey? That we get to do life with brothers and sisters that has the same heart and desire for God and for the city to be changed as we have. So those who love the ways of God are blessed, as so are those who love and prioritize the gathering of the people of God. And even more so, the psalmist says, are those who set their hearts on pilgrimage. Those who decide to live this life together with the saints of God. Amen. Great.